being. You are a being unlimited by nature. You were born into flesh. Manifest as best you can. The great spontaneity of your nature. You are a being unlimited by nature, born into flesh, to manifest the joy and spontaneity of your being. You are more than your physical body. Even though you have a physical body, you are more than your physical body. You are unlimited mind, unlimited spirit, unlimited love. You are a priceless part of the Creator's joy. You have a fundamental innocence about you. No matter what mistakes you may have made in the past, no matter what you may have been programmed to believe about yourself, you have a fundamental basic goodness, sinlessness, guiltlessness, innocence about you. It's in you. It's what you are. And you may or may not be aware of the fact that your thought is creative. Your beliefs make your reality. Your perception of reality is a result of your belief. My purpose is going to be to try to allow us to let go of some of the blocks to the awareness of love's presence within us. And you don't have to believe it. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to welcome anything I say. You don't have to believe anything I say. You don't have to accept anything I say. You don't have to welcome anything I say. You do not have to believe anything I say. Some of the things that I say you may actively resist. Some of the things I say may startle you. Some of the things I say you may feel a lot of resistance to. But if you will use the ideas, if you use the ideas, you'll see that the ideas are true. All right, would you mind turning the light up a little bit? Y'all ready?
Yeah, watch that book, Teddy.
Give you a little flash. You get to be over 21 before I can give you the whole book. Tonight, you're looking for your personal message to kind of resolve some issue that's been on your mind. Don't feel like you have to believe everything that you hear or that I'm expecting you to or that I need you to. I'm just here to deliver a message as lovingly as I can that I want to remember. Because I teach best what I most need to learn, and I get most excited about what I'm trying to remember. So I appreciate you being here to help me remember what I need to learn. And by setting it up where I taught it, I knew I'd be guaranteed to focus on some different thoughts other than the kind I hear in the world.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty familiar with the world's thought system. And I like to have at least an hour a week where I'm willing to listen to something that's radically different, that even if I don't agree with it, at least it would be refreshing to hear something outrageous. For a while, you know. So anyway, the section, I want to do a quick review of what we talked about last week. And we were talking about the truth behind illusions. Uh, 6:36. And I'm just going to do a real quick review on that. Basically, what the Course in Miracles was telling us last week is that as long as you want to make up rules for everybody around you and make up rules for everybody around you, as long as you want to make up your own rules of enjoyment that you expect, you know, everybody else to act out, then you need to understand that there's going to be times when they're going to act unexpectedly and not keep your rules. So if you don't keep in mind that the rules that you make up for your enjoyment are rules that you make up, then you feel betrayed when someone acts other than how you think they should act according to the rules you made up, because you forgot that the rules you made up are just the rules you made up and they don't have anything to do with universal law. So the person can break a rule that you make up anytime. So he was trying to get us to see it wasn't about not keeping agreements with each other. It's about being conscious enough to know that there's always a possibility that an agreement can be broken, because when they're made up, they're not based on universal law, so they can change in the time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If I'm making up the rules for my enjoyment, then you could break the rules that I made up for my enjoyment any time that you want to. So if I walk around expecting everybody to live according to the rules that I've made up, then people are going to constantly shock me and surprise me with unexpected actions that I didn't think that was going to happen. He says, and we freak out. Just like a child when it picks up a little woolly bear or a jack in the box pops up. The kid wasn't expecting it. It broke the kid's rules. That wasn't supposed to happen. And that's what we do all day long. We make up all these rules for what's supposed to happen during the day that are not based on anything that's real. And then we're constantly surprised that things don't turn out exactly the way we want them to all the time. But our desires are not based on universal laws. And so those desires are just made up so anybody could break those desires, because they're not based on anything that's real. So when you walk around all day expecting the world to act out your rules of enjoyment, then you're setting yourself up to be constantly disappointed all day long as people break the rules that you've made up in your own mind for how things should be. And then the Course was telling us that, but if you still want to play with it, then there's still going to be rules that they seem to break and frighten you. But the main thing to remember is that you're not at the mercy of your toys. You're not at the mercy of your perceptions. You're not at the mercy of your beliefs. You're not at the mercy of your rules. You're not at the mercy of how you think. So the Course just wants us to know that you're not at the mercy of your perception, that your perception is actually made up of your beliefs, your ideas, and your interpretations. So your perception is totally under your control. So the way you're seeing things right now is determining the way you're feeling right now, but you're the one that's seeing it the way you're seeing it right now, that's producing the feeling that you have right now. Nobody around you is causing you to feel the way you feel right now. They just, if you're upset, they've just broken your rules for enjoyment, which weren't real. They were made up by you. And the rule we use to keep in relationships is, if you give me some enjoyment, I shall give you some enjoyment. And if you don't keep the bargain, you're not going to get no enjoyment tonight. It ain't happening. You know what I'm saying? We make up all these rules. The Course in Miracles says what we call love is nothing but bargains made with guilt. And I said, that's kind of cold. But that's the truth. It is. It's just a bargain. I'll be here for you, and I love you just as long as you keep the bargains. You keep the bargains, I'll be here. You don't keep the bargain, I'm gone. I'm out of here. That's not love, but that's not nothing to feel guilty about. The Course says that's just the version of love that those who don't know how to love can do. So those who don't know how to love, the Course says we made up our own version of love that we can do. So that's deep. But that's true. I can love one person, I can't love everybody. I can do conditional love, I can't do unconditional love. I can have fear and anger in my love as well as peace and joy. So I had to give all these characteristics to love, because I had to make love into something that I could do. because I don't know how to do total freedom. I don't know how to do unconditional. I don't know how to do a love that includes everything and everybody, which is what real love is like. The Course says real love is like the love that which created us gives us, and we count on that love including everybody and nobody being left out. We count on whatever created us loving all of us equally, right? But that's not the way we do love. We see it just the opposite. You have somebody that love a lot of people, you call them unfaithful. See, we got everything exactly reversed. We define love as limitation, and that which is real defines love as no limitation. So what we call love, the Course calls specialness, and it says we can do special love. We can do special relationships. We just don't know how to do love relationships. Isn't that wild? Like I said, you don't have to believe in it, but it's different. It's another way to look at it, isn't it? I believe it, though.
I believe it.
I totally believe it, yeah. I totally believe it, even when I think I don't.
Yeah.
Now, this next paragraph upset me, and y'all might have to help me through it. He says, now reality obeys the laws of God. That means that reality doesn't obey the rules you set up. I love that. He says, and it is the Creator's laws that guarantee your savior, your safety, but all your illusions that you believe about yourself obey no laws. So all the false ideas that a person has about themselves obey no laws. So all the illusions on page 634. 634. He said, all the illusions that you believe about yourself obey no laws. They seem to dance a little while according to the rules you set for them, and then they fall and cannot rise again. That's the truth. Things seem to go your way for a little while, and then it looks like it falls and it can't rise again. And then he says, these are but toys, my child, so don't grieve for them. Their dancing never brought you joy, but neither were they things to frighten you nor make you safe if they obeyed your rules. So all of your illusions, all of your fantasies must be neither cherished nor attacked, but just looked upon as children's toys without a single meaning of their own. See one meaning in the children's toys and you will see them all. See no meaning in the children's toys and they will not touch you. So basically what that paragraph says to us is that we have a lot less guilt about the things that we're making and the things in this world, actually, if you saw it as children's toys. Without a single meaning of its own. I like that. The only thing that can hurt me is the self-deception. The Course says the only thing that hurts you is fooling yourself. That all pain is a result of self-deception. So wherever you're experiencing pain, that's where you're deceiving yourself. That's how you can quickly find out where you are deceiving yourself. It's where you're most upset. But it's just, we're just the opposite, right? When we get most upset, that's when we feel most self-righteous. And that's when we feel like we're the most correct. I'm mad, so I gotta be. This gotta be the way I see it because I'm so upset. Because I wouldn't be getting upset about something that wasn't true. So we do just the opposite. The more upset I am, the really it must be to me. And the Course says that once you begin to wake up to who you really are, you realize that the more upset you are, the more distorted your perception is, and the more likely you're not seeing the situation clearly. So you'll get to the point that when you get upset, that'll be your clue to shut up. instead of being your clue to go off, it'll become your clue to be quiet. Mm-hmm. It's like the more you find yourself getting upset, the more silent you get. But when you're unconscious, the more upset you get, the louder you get. See? Mm-hmm. And so the Course says we just got two choices or two voices. We're either going to listen to the voice that's going to bring us peace, or we're going to listen to the voice that's going to bring us conflict. And then we got a whole host of ways that we give ourselves that lesson, and that's simply our ambitions and desires. Our ambitions and desires are nothing but the things that we're setting up in our lives to learn the lesson of peace. So whatever it is you desire, that's okay. It really doesn't matter what it is. You can desire anything, a house, a car, a maid, or it doesn't matter. All you're doing is setting up what you're going to learn the same lesson through. Isn't that deep? Yeah. It's like if I sit down and say, I'm dreaming about a trip to California. Well, okay, go ahead. That trip to California still is going to be an opportunity for you to either choose for love or choose for fear. Mm-hmm. That trip to California is still going to be an opportunity for you, Earl, to choose for peace or choose for conflict. So it doesn't matter what that's why the Course is trying to get us to see. Everything in the world is neutral. Stop getting hung up on the things of the world. Everything in the world is neutral. It's neither good nor bad. It's going to be whatever the purpose is that you have for it. That's what it's going to be to you. Right? This chair isn't good or bad. You know what I'm saying? It's neutral. My body isn't good or bad. It's just neutral. But we don't have any neutral thoughts about anything. But everything is neutral. But we don't have neutral thoughts. And that's where we get caught up. Everything here is neutral. Sex is neutral. You don't have no neutral thoughts about it, though. You know what I mean? Money is neutral, but we probably don't have neutral thoughts about it. But it's neutral. I mean, it's neither good nor bad. So really, money is just another way that I'm setting it up where I'm going to learn to choose for love or choose for fear. Most people choose for fear around money. But money is sinless. It's deep. That's deep. So, that's what I was going to say. He says that what happens, he says that when we deceive ourselves, then that's when we get hurt. So pain is proof of self-deception according to the Course. So what hurts you is when you forget something is unreal. The Course says that the things in the world, they hurt us not because they can hurt us, but because we forget that they're illusions. We forget that they are things that have no permanence. And sometimes people think that's like a judgment. Like if I say it has no permanence, I'm putting it down. But actually, the truth is, if I truly recognized it had no permanence, I'd be much more in the now moment with it, enjoying it a lot more, appreciating it a lot more, and really being 100% with it. Just like when somebody come to town and you know they're only going to be there 3 days, you're giving them a lot more attention than you would if you thought they were going to be there 2 years. So really, in a way, when you see the world correctly and you realize how impermanent it is and how everything changes so rapidly, it would actually focus you in the now moment of enjoying every moment and everything in it as much as you possibly could.
So you're supporting the idea that ignorance is bliss?
No, I'm supporting the idea that ignorance is the cause of pain. That pain comes from ignorance. It's not ignorance isn't bliss. Ignorance is where the pain is coming from.
Yeah.
No, I'm not supporting the idea that ignorance is bliss at all. The Course doesn't either. It says ignorance, my own awareness of my oneness with you, my ignorance of my oneness with you is what could make me justify hurting you. Being ignorant that you got feelings that I, just like the feelings I have, and you deserve happiness just like I do, being ignorant of that would make me feel justified in attacking you, and trying to take advantage of you, or manipulating you. The ignorance that the person being ignorant of the fact that they're one with me might look at the color of my skin and attack me like the black guy got attacked up in Boulder the other night. That's ignorance. That's the result of ignorance. Now, if that person knew that they were only attacking themselves, they probably wouldn't have jumped out the van. If they knew that one day they would be on the flip side of their own action, they probably wouldn't have jumped out the van. They're ignorant. That's a call for knowledge. The Course calls it a call for knowledge. They had a really deep call for knowledge. they had a really deep call. Their ego says, well, we should punish them as fast as we possibly can. But that's not going to change the person's mind. So it's not going to really do it. That wouldn't do any good. What would do some good is for that person to learn a new perception, to get another way of looking at things, to get a new interpretation. That's what the Course would say. They need to learn another way to look at things. Because it says that punishment only produces a temporary effect. And it does. It's just a temporary effect. Yeah, it looked like for a second that it did some good, you know. Okay, this person assaulted a person, and I put them in prison, and I get them beat up for about 20 years and raped every other night, and they're going to come back just as sweet as pie back out into society. They're just going to be the nicest people when they come out of prison. You know, it's like ignorance. Ignorance. Ignorance would be not recognizing that the only level that change happens really is on the mental level, on the mind level. That if you really want to make something different, then you have to change your mind and not the behavior, because the behavior is nothing but a reflection of what's going on in the mind anyway. So if you change the behavior before you change your mind, the Course says that produces a strain, and then you start to feel a lot of fear. And that fear and conflict comes from acting as you think you should without really wanting to. And that strain and fear comes from doing things that you don't want to do simultaneously or successively. So the more you are acting the way you think you should, talking the way you think you should, doing anything the way you think you should, but it's not really what you really want to do in your heart, then the Course says that one part of your mind is fighting another part of your mind, and then you begin to feel coerced, and then sooner or later it's going to erupt into rage because you're not doing what you really want to do, and you're out of integrity with yourself. So most people are doing what they think they should without really wanting to, and that kind of explains why people are so afraid and under so much strain and why they're attacking so much. It's because they aren't free. They aren't following their heart. They're not trusting. They're not in touch with their own special function that they had for being born. Every one of us came here with a special function that only we can do. That's your special function. You have a special way to bring love or truth into the planet. That's your own way. And unless you do that, then your life is a struggle and you don't feel contented in it. And nothing you do satisfies you completely, so you jump around from thing to thing looking for the thing that's going to turn you on, because you're not fulfilling your function and you're feeling the strain of not giving yourself the joy that you deserve to have. Because that's your function. Your function is to show people it's possible to be happy here. And the universe will support you in that, but it's not going to support you in the guilt-blame game, which is the popular game, which is the game that comes from me making up rules for my enjoyment, expecting you to act them out, and if you don't, then I'm blaming you, and I'm trying to make you feel guilty until you act out my rule for enjoyment, which we call typical relationships. Hello? Right? Isn't that it? I mean, let's face it, that's it. You know, you did something out of life. Until you act right, you're not going to get no more of my love. You see what I'm saying? That's a bargain. That's a bargain. And fortunately, most people are willing to pay the price. If they want you bad enough, they'll do it. Don't worry about it. So that's pretty much all I wanted to say about this part right here before I went to this other part. Any questions or comments about that? Remember, it's okay to disagree. It's okay to not believe it. It's perfectly okay. Yeah.
You speak about fulfilling your function. Are you referring to finding the right work or the right place, or is it more about the way you live?
Fulfilling your function has to do with how much you're willing to let love come through you onto the planet.
Anywhere you are.
Yeah, and the things you love to do, that's just the form that you're going to let your love come through. So your work should be something that you love enough to let your love come through. But that's not your function. Your function isn't your job. Your function is what you're expressing out into this planet, you know, what's really coming in. The love that's supposed to come in, you know. We're so caught up in our human identities that when we're talked to from the perspective about true spiritual reality, it sounds insane, because we're so identified with these physical bodies that to really get that you are really here for love, that you're really here to let some freedom come on the planet, some peace come on the planet, and the reward of that is that if peace is coming through you, it's going to have an effect on you. It's going to change your vibration. Yes, I'm trying to get to it. I am. I'm gonna do it, God. All right. Talk to you later. Okay. I am. Okay. All right. Yeah, God. That was God. God, not too solid with me no more. Used to be. Ever since I got this new cell phone playing with unlimited minutes, I had a real problem with God. You know, God's been calling on me all the time.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? And then, of course, that voice for your higher self is only as loud as your willingness to listen. So if God's voice is only as loud as my willingness to listen, that's saying a lot about my unwillingness to listen. You know, to the point they don't even look like there is a voice for God. It sounds like a rumor. That's, you know what I'm saying? That's how deep I'm into my own thought, that I don't even realize I'm getting a part of me that's trying to say, hey, look here, there's an easier way. You know, your life really doesn't have to be fearful and doesn't have to be about the struggle, but you got to learn how to listen to yourself with a capital S and stop trying to teach yourself and start letting yourself teach you. And I went, ooh. See, all this kind of stuff being in this book, it just blows my mind. But one of the things I wanted to really get about the function, did you get what I was saying? Is that your joy, your happiness, and the love that you deserve to have, Gina, in your life, that's your function. Your function is love. And all the things that you love to do, that's the way that you allow that love to come out in this plane. And if you do what you love, the money will come. If you do what you love, the support will come. If you do what you love, a way will be made. But it's got to be what you love, you know. And most of us are doing gotas, oughtas, shouldas, should, what I think is going to make me the most money, even though I'm not really into it. You know, we're not really coming from our heart. We're coming from fear. And then anything that's coming from fear is birth and lack. And so when you go out and try to do it, it looks like it's not successful because you're coming from a space of lack to begin with. You're doing something you don't really love. So how much could you really want that to work anyway? For real. You see what I mean? So the more you can always tell who's doing what they love. You can tell by their vibration. You can tell by the way they how they glow. You can tell when you're around somebody that's doing what they like to do. You can tell. And that's a healing, just being in their presence. And that's why I wanted to spend some time tonight in a section that it talks about how to deal with people who don't know that they're responsible for their experience and what's happening to them.
Okay, give it to me.
Yeah. Y'all want to hear that? Does that sound worthwhile? Okay. It's gonna be on page 19 in the teacher's manual. The teacher's manual is the best place to start in the course if you start to read it. Even though that would be the last place, but it's the best place to start. It's the teacher's manual because it explains a lot of the terminology that the book uses. Another weird thing you're going to find out about the course is that when you read it and you didn't understand what you read, it wasn't because you didn't understand it. It was because you weren't ready to accept it yet. Mm-hmm. And so when you're not ready to accept something, the course says you'll say stuff like, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And what you're really saying is, I don't accept that. I understand perfectly what you said. I just don't accept this. But my mind will say, I don't understand. Okay. Now, the part of us that thinks it's a body does not like any kind of conversation around the idea that we might be something more than that. So it'll tell you that the truth is asking you to sacrifice the pleasures of the body. And it'll tell you that the truth is saying that it's not okay to enjoy sunsets and camping and nice plasma TVs. It's going to try to make you think that the truth is asking for a sacrifice. And anything that tells you that the truth is asking for a sacrifice, you can automatically know that's a lie, because the truth would never ask you to sacrifice your happiness. So anytime any part of your mind says, oh, he's saying I need to sacrifice, then you know that's not what's being said, because I just said it's never asking you to sacrifice. As a matter of fact, it has a great rule. He says keep what you want as long as you want it, and then give it up when you no longer want it. That's the rule. Can anybody pull that off? Keep it as long as you want it. Give it up when you no longer want it. Then you won't be in conflict. But you'll be in conflict if you're trying to give away something that you think you still want. Because you can learn your lesson through that thing just as good as you could through the new thing. Remember? Because it's just two lessons we're going to be learning anyway. So if you really want to hang on to that old thing to learn that lesson, that's okay. But then take responsibility for that and don't be complaining because nothing's new showing up. And then if you're ready to go for the new thing, then go ahead and embrace that new thing, knowing that you're going to get your lesson in love through something new and fresh, and something you can probably look at with excitement for a while before you turn it into the same thing that the rest of it was. Because, you know, our pattern kicks in after a certain period of time. So when you try something new, you do have a little grace period where it does look new. Mm-hmm. Until you see it's just another form of the same thing you've been doing all the time, and you need to learn your lesson in this just like you did in everything else. So if you do decide to move out of town because you need a fresh start, then you better go ahead and make every change that you can make in your mind when you first land in town before your old mindset kicks in and you recreate the exact same thing in your new location as you did in your old one, because you surely will. So you're going to have that little moment where you really think it's new. Take advantage of that moment where it looks like it's new for a minute. You know, I've never had but one woman in my whole life. I'm the ultimate monogamous person. She just had different bodies. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You've had the same man. He just had a lot of different bodies.
I actually had the women too.
Yeah. So you did what? Now you had the women too. Okay. Absolutely. 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 That's what I'm saying. It's not about the form our lesson come in. It's am I going to learn the lesson? You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, if we're not bodies, then that puts a whole nother slant on the whole sexual thing anyway. Mm-hmm. That's really deep when you start thinking about it. Mm-hmm. You know. You know, because love doesn't have anything to do with a body. It doesn't have anything to do with sex. It doesn't have anything to do with that. Anything that's going to separate out anybody else isn't love anyway. It's specialness. So I can have special feelings toward a lot of different people. But love is inclusive. Love is, includes everybody. So anytime somebody's left out, it's not love involved. It's specialness involved. That's why your child means more to you than your neighbor's child. Your child is more special. See, so what we call love is means special. You my special, and then, you know, you my special partner, and we agreeing that we're gonna be special partners for the rest of our life, provided we keep the rules for enjoyment that we made up. It's like I said. Now, so you go into the relationship knowing that that's not gonna happen all the time, because you know it's a rule you made up. So when the other person breaks some rule or does something unexpected, you don't crucify them. You can forgive them because you never expected them to never ever make a mistake to begin with. Because you knew that neither one of y'all really knew what love really was. And you knew that neither one of you all could love unconditionally. You knew that both of y'all can get into grievances. So it becomes easy to forgive when you don't have unrealistic expectations at the very beginning. You sit up and tell somebody, I'll never attack you. I'll never get angry at you because I love you. So I'll never, never, ever, ever, ever raise my voice to you. Never, ever, 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 never. You know, because you're at that stage where they can pick their toes at the table and you love it. You know, that first, you know, when you're right at the beginning, they can't do nothing wrong. And you're just like, oh, she has her toes up on the table. Isn't that cute? You know, isn't that what? You know, then 6 months later, you want to chop their toe off. You know, it's like, you know what I'm saying? Y'all know how we do it, because if we didn't fool ourselves at the beginning, we would never get in the lesson to begin with. You know, how you gonna catch a fish unless you got a good use of worm out there? You know, so you gotta see me the way I'm gonna be one day. So when you first meet somebody, you're like going, this is the way I'm gonna be one day. That's how you treat them, the way you're gonna be one day. You're real loving and compassionate and understanding and gentle. Because really, that's the way you're gonna be one day when you get through working through your issues.
Yeah.
You know, but at the very beginning, we show them the end of the movie. Right? So we say, if you keep doing it right, you know, you're gonna eventually get to this cool me, and I'm gonna give you a preview of coming attractions for the first 6 months of our relationship. So when you know those things, it's a lot easier to forgive someone for the mistakes and errors that they make, because you know they're just like you. They're doing the best they can. They don't really know any more about love than you do. I say it all the time in my class, we make people work too hard for our dysfunctional love. We do. Yeah, I can't even tell you I love you. I can't even put my arm around you and say, hey, I really appreciate you. You're just an incredible blessing in my life. You know, thank you every day. I'm thankful every day I wake up in the morning and see you in my life. You know, we can't even say stuff like that to somebody, but we're holding back our love. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? It's like, I'm so grateful that as little as I know about love, people care about me. I'm so grateful. I'm not like, wow, great. You're able to see something in me that I sometimes don't see in myself. Thank you for holding the light for me when I'm off into Earl is an okay land. Because I used to have people in my life that if I said all the things that was wrong with me, they add a few.
Yeah.
But you forgot that you're selfish, too. And you never call your mama. You know, it's like they add to it. Now it's like the people in my intimate life, the first thing they want to do is help me remember who I really am. For real. Remind me that I'm making a mistake, but I'm still the child of God. I'm still innocent. I'm still part of love. That I'm not beyond help. That I'm making me feel worse about myself. God, I remember trying to make the people who didn't love me or appreciate me love and appreciate me, and I give them all my attention. And the people that loved and appreciated me, I didn't give them no attention at all because I thought I had them handled. So I thought I had to focus on just the lacks, just the problem people, because the cool people don't need the energy. And we don't realize that you create more of what you invest in. So if you want more cool people, you got to invest in the people in your life that you see as cool. By what? Appreciating them. You know, and really letting them know it. You know, it's like, it just don't take but a second. Just to sincerely say, hey, I love you, I appreciate you, thanks for being in my life. I'm so glad you're there. It helps me out a whole lot. See, how long did it take? 30 seconds? Mm-hmm. People have a hard, sometimes you have this, people won't say that, but they'll tell you, you low down, son of a gun, son of a bitch, I hate you. You know what I'm saying? The Course says we'll say I hate much quicker than we'll say I love. People will tell you what they're upset about a lot faster than they'll tell you what they love you about. Right? So what you invest in, you create more of. So then we wonder why we attract more and more anger and attack, but it's our anger and our attack that we feel the most comfortable expressing to people, especially men. You know, we tend to express our fear through anger because we don't feel comfortable expressing it through. So I got to go, so the more scared I am, the more I'm going to go.
Oh,
so I'm terrified. And out of my terror, I'm going to attack you. That's what we're saying. Mm-hmm. I'm terrified. And then in a second, I'm going to attack you out of my fear. So then I'm just creating more of that vibration, which attracts more people to me that I have to deal with that kind of energy with. And I wonder how they keep increasing. Woo!
Mm. So does that include how you feel about yourself, that you're going to attract more people who will just prove that to you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. The Course calls them witnesses. They're the witness. As it says, one witness speaks louder than 1,000 words. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard for you to believe that you're the worst person on the planet if everybody around you is treating you with respect and treating you nice. I don't care how low your self-esteem is, it's going to start to rise if you look around you and all you're getting witnesses saying you're really innocent, you're really beautiful, you're really powerful. You know, it kind of blows your mind, you know, because when you're negative, it's funny, it's like when you're real negative, you're denying the positive, loving parts of yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So your physical world is made up of that which you are hiding from yourself that's subconscious in your mind, according to the Course. So if I'm focusing on what's negative about me, keeping unconscious what's loving about me, then it'll look like I'm in a world where people treat me better than they should. Mm-hmm. And so I have this kind of guilt because it always looked like people are treating me nicer than they should, and if they really knew the truth about me, they sure wouldn't be doing this. And what you're just meeting your own subconscious, unconscious, loving thoughts about yourself.
Yeah.
Now, the person that's trying to be positive all the time, and is in denial about their shadow, They're pretending they don't have any fearful thoughts, they don't have any angry thoughts, they don't have any guilty thoughts. You've seen them. They'll say, I'm not afraid of anything. They'll say stuff like, I love everybody, and I feel peace about everything, and I don't, you know, you see them. They'll do it, especially on the spiritual path, right? So they're in total denial about their fear, and so they become the nice people that's always having crappy stuff happen to them. You know those people? They're nice as they can be, but they're something like they just don't have enough money to pay their bills. Or they're nice as they can be, but there's always an illness or an accident or circumstances upsetting them. They're nice as they can be, but nothing seems like it's going the way they want it to go. They're in denial about their own shadow, so their own shadow is coming up in their face so that they can acknowledge that they have thoughts like that too that need to be forgiven and need to be released. And the minute that they own that they have fearful thoughts and loving thoughts, then there's no need for all those things to come up in your face to show you that you're lying to yourself about what's going on inside your mind.
Would you say the negative one again, that the negative people...
A lot of times the negative people are in denial about the positive traits that they have about themselves, right. Insecure, fearful people. So then they'll... But see, the trick about that, though, is you'll attract really wonderful people to you, but you'll become afraid of them, and you'll sabotage it, and you'll run away from it, and you won't let yourself have it. Because you won't think... What happens is that if a person is insecure and they don't love themselves, they are in denial about their loving thoughts. So really loving people do show up as a reflection of their own subconscious loving thoughts. But here's the problem. If you're insecure and you don't love yourself, when people like that show up, you're going to sabotage it or run away from them, or you're going to feel very suspicious of them. I can't tell you how much suspicion I bring up in people just by being loving. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. People just get scared of me for no reason at all. And they just make up stuff. You know, it's weird. Even though they can't point to any single actual thing that I've done other than being loving, because they don't know, they know how to deal with people who they don't, who are suspicious and they don't trust. They don't know how to deal with nobody that's being authentic. You blow people's mind when you're real. They never meet real people, so real people scare the ego to death. But what's cool about that is they're going to reject you, and rejection is protection. Rejection is protection and redirection. Rejection is protection. You're being protected when you're rejected. You're being protected when you're being rejected. Somebody who doesn't recognize how cool you are is choosing to leave your life or pass you, pass right by you. That means somebody who couldn't appreciate you is choosing not to enter into a relationship with you. That's protection. That's cool. When somebody rejects you, they're saving you tons of time. They're saving you tons of time. It's a gift, because the ego part of you, the part of you that doesn't love you, is going to be totally attracted to what doesn't want you. You can count on it. The part of you that doesn't love you always wants what doesn't want it. Mm-hmm. And that's how you can tell. Like, people say, well, man, love with them. Do they want you too? Are y'all coming together? Is it a mutual love? No, he got a restraining order out on me. But I know he loves me. And the police, I got a little thing on my ankle to stay away from him, but I know he loves me. You know, see, that's what I said. That's insane. That's insane. But we've all done it to some degree or another, been totally attracted to the person who wasn't attracted to you. That would be the first one at your ego. Why? Because that would reinforce the idea that you can't have what you want and you can't be happy and you can't be loved. And there's a part of your mind that does want to reinforce that idea. And the Course calls it the ego. And so we're learning how not to listen to the part of our mind that's always trying to direct us to seek and not find. We're getting on the track of seek and you will find. That's a whole nother ball game. That's a good one. That's a good one. So, as you go deeper into love, everything in you that's unlike love is going to come up to be released. So when you first dedicate yourself to awakening, don't be surprised if all your insane thoughts come up and for a while you think you're going crazy. Or you think things are more upsetting now that you've decided to be more loving. It just seems like even more crap is happening. Mm-hmm. The truth is, you finally decided to get everything up out of you that's not loving toward you. And it's going to come up to be released. And so that's why we have each other. And that's the advantage of us having each other, is so that when we're going through that transformation, we have somebody around us to remind us that we're not going crazy. It's just normal to get disoriented and confused when your mind is healing. Because when your mind is healing, the Course says, you're unable to tolerate pain as well as you used to. So really growing spiritual doesn't mean you can handle more pain. It actually means that you handle less pain. It's like, you know, you don't have to suffer, so you're not stupid enough to want to continue to do it all the time. You know what I'm saying? That's the truth. And all this I'm saying is like, it's things that I've learned through studying the Course. You know, it's like, hey, you know something? It's a lot easier to do something with somebody who want to do it with you. What a novel concept. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot easier to recognize your innocence if you're not around somebody that's always trying to make you feel guilty about everything that you do. You know, just a little common sense stuff like that. But the Course of Miracles says, simplicity is very difficult for twisted minds. I read that and I cracked up. Simplicity is very difficult for twisted minds. So as you go out now into the world, you're going to find that more and more your test is going to be, can you recognize the cool stuff that's going to be coming up in your life, and are you going to love yourself enough to let it in? Your test is going to be more now about how much love can you take? How much can you let come in? What's your limit on love? What's your limit on joy? What's your limit on happiness? You know what I'm saying? So right now, you're simply coming to a class so you can be forewarned that the only thing that's waiting for you is everything you've ever wanted in your heart. So will you work on yourself enough to let go of the insecure feelings or thoughts or fears that would keep you from recognizing it when it showed up, so that you could take advantage of what's already here for you now? And if you think you don't deserve it, you won't let yourself have it. But you'll never lose it, because you can't lose eternal love. You can't lose what comes from God. You can delay, but you can't block your good from getting to you forever.
So then how do you then, if you're at a standstill where you still don't think you deserve it, do you think that maybe it's the muck coming up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to get a chance to see all the thoughts that you have about why you don't deserve it as they come up. And what you do is you watch them like a parade. But you don't like grab the people out the parade, they'll put you in jail. Right? You see the major red come back, look at the head of the major red, phew, well, they're going to put me in jail. But if I watch Sun march on by, I can enjoy her safely. Okay, so Earl has negative thoughts. He's not enough. Got to let that ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Earl's not enough. Earl is insecure about what? We all got ego thoughts. Earl worries about here's an Earl worry thought. But see, there's an Earl not enough thought. This Earl not a little like Earl thought. This is an Earl way too much thought. This is an Earl wish he had more hair. It's like all the different thoughts. And as long as you watch them go by, then that's what they'll do. They'll go by, they'll leave, and they'll be gone, and they won't bother you. But that's not what we do, right? As soon as we see the thought of I'm not enough, we reach out there and we grab it. And what do? We fixate on it. We obsess with it. We think about it. We break it down. We analyze it. We go take it to other people, and they analyze it. And so we just yanked it out the parade, gave it all our attention, and then we were wondering why that thought stays around. It's staying around because I won't let it just go through me without criticizing myself or just having the thought. So when you can get upset, when you can stop getting upset with yourself about getting upset, when you can stop getting mad at yourself about getting angry, when you can stop putting yourself down because you feel depressed and that's just the way you feel right now, then you're beginning to get it. When you can have all of your feelings without judging them, then you're beginning to get it. Now you're beginning to heal. Now you're beginning to let the love rule. So it's not about not having negative thoughts. It's about you not judging yourself for having them. And not putting yourself down for having them and making them think that you somehow spiritually failed because you wanted to kill somebody today.
Thank you.
Oh, I have a murderous thought. I sure want that one to march right on by. Right, I don't want to focus in on that. You see what I'm saying? So I don't want to pretend I don't have that thought, because if I pretend I don't have that thought, then it stays in place. If I'm willing to admit that the thought is there, then it can move on out and be released. Everybody with me? All right, I'm going to stop here. And I'll talk about that next week, about how do you deal with people who don't think the way you think about taking responsibility, and they see themselves as being the victim of everything and everybody around them. And all they do, and they project, because they're innocent too. We've been there, right? So we're going to talk about that next week. Also, this class was a lot about letting go of the script and knowing that if you do have a script, somebody's not going to always act that script out. And so therefore, if you recognize that, you won't freak out and you'll keep your peace more. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't keep the agreement that we made, or that I'm not going to say something if you don't keep the agreement that we made. It's just that if I am conscious enough to know that it is an agreement that we made, then I know it's always a possibility that that could be broken. So even if it is, I won't freak out like I would if, like a person does who really think they have control over people. There's control in people are always freaking out, because they're constantly experiencing people breaking the rules that they made up for their enjoyment. You know what I'm saying? It's so funny is that, of course, people are going to want to break your rules for enjoyment if you are really like a really horrible person to be around anyway. You know, it's funny. It's funny. And if you really be true to yourself, what you'll do is you will absolutely magnetize people to you that's coming from the exact same place you're coming from, and you'll be able to have everything you want peacefully. It's not about you not being able to have your fantasies. It's that you have to let go of who you think is going to fulfill them. Because who you want to fulfill them is the right person, the right situation, right?
Yes.
Okay, right?
Yes.
Well, the right person would have to be the one that you feel total fulfillment and total peace with, right? So how could they be, if this is a person in your life that you feel total fulfillment with, how in the world could they not look right? Or how in the world could they not have the coolest personality? You see what I'm saying? It's like sometimes we're worried about that, like somehow or another we're not going to get something we want if the right person comes. You know, because I've decided it should be you. You see, and so since I've decided it should be you, whether you want it to be you or not, then I think for it not to be you, then I'm having to sacrifice my happiness, which means I've lost sight of my goal. Is my goal to really be happy and fulfilled, or is my goal to have you? See, and I got to get clear about that. Every one of us can be happy if we're willing to let it come to us in the way that it can come. That's deep. All right. I'm going to do the love offering. I appreciate you all sharing. I do the course full time, so you all are particularly feeling gratitude all the time coming from me. The reason why I do my classes on a donation basis is because I don't want a person's ability to pay to affect their being able to attend something that I'm doing. And I trust that those who can and can appreciate it will share. And so I live by that faith and trust. And it's a beautiful way to live.
Where's the bucket?
It's not a bucket. I'm not quite that ambitious yet. I'll try to get up the bucket status one day.
What does that mean?
Bucket. That's funny. Just a person told me just the other day, it's funny, that they had an unlimited bucket of love for me. That could receive endless love as much as I wanted to share. So one of the problems with giving is when you're trying to give to someone or something that can't receive it. Incomplete giving is such a lousy feeling. So I had the course taught me that it was just as blessed to receive as to give, because without your willingness to receive, then the giver can never feel complete in their joy of giving. So I realized I had to really work on my capacity to receive also. I found that as a matter of fact, if you see yourself as lacking, you know that's what needs to be worked on, is your capacity to receive. If there's lack anywhere in your life, you know what your goal, what your job is, to learn how to allow more into your life. I didn't say get, I didn't say make, I said allow. That's deep. Okay. So the next class is at 1 o'clock on Sunday. And
are you doing church on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm also doing the talk at the 11 o'clock service on Sunday, so if you get a chance to check out. That's a great prosperity lesson. I'd like to say it for you. So if you don't mind, could you just close your eyes for a minute? I want you to see if you can take this with you when you leave out of here tonight. I bless the world because I bless myself. I bless the world because I bless myself. I bless the world because I bless myself. Don't forget to bless yourself. Don't forget to bless yourself. Sometimes we are so intent on helping others that we forget to bless ourselves. You should be saying, let me treat myself as well as I treat my brother. Let me treat myself as well as I treat other people would be more true for most of us. So I'm going to say what I consider to be a real cool thought to use if you want to know what your work is, your career, you want that to be successful. This is what you want to tell yourself. I deserve to be paid for having fun. I deserve to be paid for having fun. I deserve to be paid for having fun. Wait, what? I deserve to be paid for having fun. See how hard that was to get out? Listen here. I deserve to be paid for having fun. And one more time, I bless the world because I bless myself. 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 Now just take a breath for a moment, and I'd like you to think of something, one thing you love to allow into your life right now. One thing you would just love to have in your life right now. You deserve it. Now, can you see yourself actually standing in front of that thing that you would love to experience right now? Can you let yourself feel it? It's your function to show everyone that it's possible to be happy here by allowing yourself to be happy. It's time for you to allow yourself to follow your heart's desire. It's now time to allow yourself to have all fear removed from your mind.
Lift your voice and let the spirit soar.
May the course be with you. I'll see y'all next time. Let's give it to us. It's okay to acknowledge us. That'll work. Yeah. And if you want a copy of tonight's class, you can get them on CDs, and there's a sheet over here that you can sign up to do that. Appreciate you all from the all around, the bottom, and inside my heart.